Well, we arrive at chapter 4. Halfway through. Cheryl, when we begin? February of 14? June? Oh, man, I'm moving too quickly. Let's go back a little bit. We found out something that is amazing. We've been talking about the origin of God's gospel. It didn't come from men. It came by revelation of Jesus Christ. This gospel that we preach is no accident. It was planned when Abraham was blessed. It said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And that you in Hebrew is singular. Didn't say y'all. No, your theology is dictated by what the Word said. I will bless you, Abraham, and your seed. So the blessing goes from Abraham singular to the seed, who is the seed, Jesus Christ, and any that trust him by faith. It doesn't matter what your race, what your ethnic origin. We're finding out some shocking things. You can be the physical seed of Abraham and you get nothing if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, because it all is made possible through Jesus. It was never to be by law. We're finding out the law just led us to Christ in verse 24, that we may be declared righteous by faith. As a matter of fact, Paul said, it has to be by faith so it would be sure to every person, because no one's been able to keep the Mosaic law. But now, verse 25 of chapter 3, that faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor. What's the purpose of the law? It was in our instructor. What did it teach us? Just how bad we really are. That's the bad news. That's the purpose of law. It's like the, and I'll make Terry mad this morning, it's like the Miranda warning that they read to me every once in a while on 126 after I'm going the speed limit, but their radar guns are wrong. You have the right to remain silent. If you have this right to remain silent, anything can and will be used against you in a court of law. It didn't say it would declare you innocent, did it? It said, we'll use anything you say, what? Not for you, but... Yes. Oh, when they read that. Did you read it from a card, Terry? You knew it.
By heart.
By heart. By law. So what's your Miranda right? Keep your mouth shut, or they'll use anything again. That's what the law was. The law's purpose was to instruct you, what? We're all guilty. And Jesus came to free us from the guilt. By faith now, in verse 20, we're no longer under the tutor, for you're all sons, children. You can say that. That's how they expressed it in the time of the first century. But you're all children of God. How? Trust in Jesus. Lord Jesus, be merciful to me. What you did on the cross. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with what? Jesus. There's how you got to be in the seed. When God sees you, if you've trusted his Messiah, he sees you here. Abraham's blessings go to Jesus, and God sees you by faith in Jesus. You have all the blessings of Abraham. You don't have to be outwardly a physical member of Abraham and Sarah. That doesn't count under the new covenant. As a matter of fact, a physical person related to Abraham, if they don't believe in Jesus, they get nothing. And until they repent, they get nothing. And not until they repent. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Therefore, There is neither Jew nor Greek in the new covenant. Quit looking at Jews and Greeks. Quit looking at each other by your physical lineage. Irish, Egyptian, Heinz 57 mongrel. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all what? One in Jesus, which means you're with Jesus as the seed. You got the blessings of Abraham. Listen to John Hagee, and he's going to be judged for his unbiblical preaching when he says the blessings of Abraham go to people apart from the Messiah Jesus. They do not. That is from the pits of hell. That does not glorify what my Savior did on the cross 2,000 years ago. And if you belong to Christ, do you belong to Christ? Have you trusted Him this morning as your Savior? That's how you belong to Christ, by faith. If you are belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring. Wait a second. I'm not physically Jewish. That doesn't matter under the new covenant. All that was just a type of what Jesus would do in the new covenant. And you are heirs of what, according to promise? Do you know what you're heirs of? The promises of Abraham. Remember in Hebrews we read how Abraham was looking for a city whose maker and builder was God? What he hoped for, you get because of Christ. That's it. Take John Hagee and don't you ever listen to a preacher like that. And if he keeps preaching that way, he'll stand before Jesus Christ and he will be judged for saying that apart from Jesus Christ, anybody gets anything. And if you don't listen to him, good. If you don't know what I'm talking about, good. But there's a lot of other crazy preachers I can mention. I don't like being a preacher because most of them, 99.99% of all preachers are crazy. And I include myself in that too. Now chapter 4. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is a guardian under managers. He is under guardians, excuse me, and managers. Now, Paul's taking this from the illustration from the days he lived in. Today, you can go to college, elementary school. We have public and private education. In the ancient times, they didn't. Jewish people could go to the local synagogue and get an elementary school education in Hebrew and basics. Greeks had an elementary form of education, elementary school, but after that, you were out of luck. They didn't have the education, so only wealthy people could educate their kids. And what you did was, in those days, you found a famous teacher. And a teacher would start his own school. And you'd pay a bunch of bucks. And so what they do in that day is they would start, the people that could afford it, would start training their children young. And here's what they did. They found an experienced teacher, a tutor, a guardian. Most of them were slaves because in the Roman Empire, slaves were more educated than the Romans. Be honest with you, the Romans stole everything from the nations they conquered. They were great at war. They were great at plundering. But the Romans did not invent many things. The Greeks, the Arabs invented wonderful mathematics, medicine. It's only today what you see because civilization breaks down. The Greeks, they're imploding financially, because the banks of the West have robbed them, but we won't get into that. The Greeks were highly intelligent, to the point where in many of them were absolutely a society of many geniuses. The Arabs were like this. And so what they would do in those societies is they'd appoint a tutor for their kids. Because if there was any public education, it wasn't too good. And their kids would be trained, and guess what that tutor could do? They misbehave, and guess what it will do? Wrap them on the knuckles. The tutor could actually beat the students. You mean the parents would let the tutor beat their kids? Yeah. And the tutor would be there night and day as a slave or hired, paid well, and keep that kid under his thumb to learn everything that that tutor knew. That's the best form of education, where you've got one-on-one. Who's paid the lowest in our society today? Teachers. Who's paid the greatest in our society today? Sports. It's because we've lost our way. But I'll tell you, the ancients, the Greeks, the Egyptians, the Arabs knew, invest in that tutor for that child, and that child will make his way in this world. And that's the analogy he's using here. What was the law? It was your instructor. What did it instruct you on? It wrapped your knuckles. How many of you love to read the law? Thou shalt not. Lo, that's in Hebrew, it's lo, lo, lo. How low can you go? Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. And then we found something else out, Paul said. The law was never designed to make us look good before God because it was designed that no one could keep it. And all it did to do you was what the Miranda will do to you. If they read it to you this afternoon, shut your mouth. It renders you what? Guilty. That's what its purpose was. You want to? God will not let anybody stand before him and say, look, Lord, how wonderful I was on earth. Didn't smoke, didn't chew, and didn't go with those who do. And he's going to say, big deal. Now, what we also have to understand about the Jewish law was this. It was holy, righteous, and good. Its purpose was to, people just aren't self-aware. We're all bad. That's why Jesus said to that woman who was caught in adultery, to the fundamentalist Pharisees, you who are without sin, do what? Cast the first stone. I'm tired of Christians casting stones. You're only saved by grace. The law was your tutor. It told you just how bad you really were. And God designed it so it would... How many of you just love to hear the thou shalt not, or do you feel guilty? Oh, sure you do. And then we forget that God saved us by his grace, and before we came to know the Lord, we were all filled with guilt. And even when we came to know him, how many of you say, I had a grandfather. No, he didn't. We get deluded. But for the grace of God, we all go. But the function of the law was do this, render us all guilty and shut our mouth. And if you see a Christian bragging about how... I had one guy in one church said to me, I never said a swear word in my life. Whoop-dee-doo. That doesn't make you holy. It makes you obsessive-compulsive in need of medication. But it doesn't make you holy. The function of the law was never to justify. Listen to me. When you read the law, you have to understand one thing. The Jews did not see the law as just the Ten Commandments. So many of you will go through, I haven't done this, and the Ten Commandments, this. It was the whole law. They had to do the whole thing. That includes not only the moral areas, they had to do the legislative, judicial, and even the dietary. For them to violate the dietary rendered them guilty. Remember the story of Jesus? He's out somewhere and he casts the demons into the swine. What in the wide world were swine doing in that area? So if you want to get under the law because you think, boy, I feel better when it feels so bad. How many of you love pork barbecue? Stop it. John Hill better not cook that, because if you want to get under the law to be justified, the Mosaic Law, you do it all. Every last bit of it. Keep the Sabbath. I better not see you out on sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. I better see you not working. But all of this, don't just pick and choose what you want or make up something. You do it all, and you're going to find out, guess what? You can't do it. You're guilty. Christ came, as it said, the law was our tutor. It showed us that we're morally bankrupt. That's its sole purpose. Then it says this, Paul says, but in the fullness of time, while we were children under that law, held in bondage. Now that's what the law does to you. He's talking about the Mosaic law. It's bondage. Why? You're told to keep it all and you can't keep hardly any of it. That's bondage. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth his what? Born of a woman, born under the law. And you know why he says born under the law? Because he's the only one that kept it perfectly. What you get in the new covenant is borrowed righteousness. You can't. God says this, if you want to do law, then get under the Moses law. If you want to do Moses law, do it all, or you're guilty of it all. And we read Romans chapter 8 says that no one could keep the law because of the weakness of the human flesh. But when Christ came, he freed us from that tutor, instructing us on how bad we were. He freed us from the bondage of law. And it says here, in order that he might redeem. Did you note that word? I got news for you. That word redemption has the idea of slavery. I got news. Everyone born into this world is born in slavery. There are several. He's talking about spiritual slavery to sin. I won't get into the slavery that the banks have us in, because that's another thing. He's talking about you're born into bondage to sin, and the tutor that's instructing you is the law condemning you in order that we would cry out, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. In order that he might redeem, free, those slaves who were enslaved to law and enslaved to sin, that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters, if you want. Because he means both. Coming to Christ means that God, literally, in Christ, makes you his child with full rights. That's why it says in Ephesians and other places, we are joint heirs with Jesus. Because God adopts us fully as his children. And the only way you get adoption, not through law, not through physical lineage. You know, a Roman, talk about the Romans were cold. You know what the Romans used to do? The Romans could have a child. It was their physical child. And what they would sometimes do, if the father looked at the child and said, I don't like that kid, you know what they would do? They'd leave that child out somewhere and let the wolves take care of it. That's how it was in Roman society. Imagine that. Today we're struggling with euthanasia. That is not a missionary group. Do you know what they just wanted to pass? I think it was in Norway or Sweden. Children under the age of 12 can be euthanized. Parents can take a child under the age of... So suppose you're born with a precious Down syndrome baby. Lethal injection. This is, I kid you not, Joan, this is what they announced. This afternoon you go home and you Google that and you'll find out it's either Norway or Sweden, one of the European countries that is progressive, will now be able to euthanize children under the age of, from 12 and under. We're getting just like the Romans, aren't we? It's interesting how in Rome, Christians were the minority. I got a surprise for you, Christians. We talked about it in Bible study this morning. Christians, you are the minority. We can only hope that we'll survive in the minority. There was a time in which Leave It to Beaver, Dennis the Menace, I Love Lucy. Remember those shows? The worst thing they did was Beaver or somebody got lost up in something or other or did. Look what we've got today. We've become a satanic nation. Christian, you are the minority and rapidly moving toward you're going to be an endangered minority because they're going to pay back Christians for a lot of things. I just want you to get ready for that. It says here that through Jesus, he redeemed us from the law that we might receive adoption. You are now fully, through Jesus, God's child. He has chosen you in Christ, and you are fully his child. And listen to me, under the new covenant, nothing can break that adoption. And because you are children of God, he has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. You can cry out to God, Dad, I need your help. He is not in a hostile relationship to the Christian. You have been adopted. You have been made the seed of Abraham in Christ. You have the blessings of Abraham in Christ. You have been fully adopted as his child. He has sealed you with his Spirit, it says in Ephesians, and you can cry out anytime you want, as guilty as you are. And oh, are we all guilty? Yes? You can cry out, Dad, I need your help. And he is disposed to help you. And that's what we have in Christ. Is this one? Why in the wide world did these Galatian people want to go back to the law? How stupid can you be? Somebody walked into their congregation and said, let's celebrate the new moons, the seasons. Let's celebrate these absolutely crock blood moons that this is from. I want to tell you where that comes from. It comes from the occult of Babylon. When they crucified Jesus, they went back to Babylon, got into the occult, and these blood moons come from Babylonian occultism. You can take it to the bank. I study. They get it from the Zohar and the Kabbalah, and it's absolutely anti-Christian. It's from Satan himself. Don't you believe these things that are written? These blood moon baloney. You're free in Christ, and Christ is watching, and he's protecting, and he will come for his children, and you need not fear any of this. We can cry forth in adoption. Daddy, I need help. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may receive mercy and a well-timed help.